You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 19. Today we're going to discuss your spiritual identity in Christ. And by spiritual, I don't mean anything New Age. I mean the Holy Spirit. Your identity in Christ through the Holy Spirit. Stay tuned. It's going to be a great show.
Hello, Konasatatu, and thank you for listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, where we try to be salty and stay salty like the Muir Éireann, that's the Irish Sea. And now your host, he's half Irish, which I like, but unfortunately he's a quarter Swedish and a quarter Scottish, but we won't hold that against him, Dr. Taylor Marshall. Lanarai!
Well, there it is, the new intro to the podcast. I hope you love it. You know, I was watching The Hobbit, and I was like, man, this music's great. I got to get epic on the podcast. I got to get the listener excited. So there it is, the new intro with our good Irish friend. It's not me, it's someone else. Anyway, we have a great show today. We're going to be talking about your identity in Christ, seeing yourself as in Christ and what that entails. We're going to look at a lot of passages from the New Testament. And of course, we have our tip of the week. It's scripture memorization. We have our proverb of the week, which you're going to like a lot. We have our saint of the week, which is Saint Barnabas from the New Testament. And we have our Latin word of the week, confirmatio, and what that means. So it's going to be great. Well, I just got out of the studio yesterday. We spent the whole day recording some really great video courses for the New St. Thomas Institute. And for those who are new to this podcast, the New St. Thomas Institute is an online member site. And I'm teaching classes there on philosophy and theology. It's for all levels, all ages, and we have a lot of great people over there. We've got priests, we've got deacons, we've got nuns, we've got monks, we've got laymen, we've got older folks and younger folks and married people and single people, and it's really fun. We've been loving it. Yesterday, we just released a video, 7 Reasons to Love St. Augustine, and the whole month of January is going to be dedicated to St. Augustine of Hippo, that great doctor of the church. We're putting out one on Pelagius, who is the nemesis of St. Augustine. Pelagius taught that we could be saved without grace and that infants did not need to be baptized. So we look at Pelagius' teaching and then how the church responded. We also have one that's pretty difficult. It's Augustine on Predestination. And for those of you that are members, I look forward to seeing your comments on that. We did one on how to memorize the 6 days of creation. And I used a method that I learned from Napoleon Dynamite, the Happy Hands Club. It sounds really juvenile and stupid, but once you see the video, you will never forget the 6 days of creation. It will be burned into your mind. And then we did a video on the fall of Satan, the fall of Lucifer, according to St. Augustine, and then saw how Thomas Aquinas uses Augustine's theology on the fall of Lucifer. So that's all coming out in January. So if you're a member of the New St. Thomas Institute, look for these videos. They come out every Tuesday. It's Thomas Tuesday, every Tuesday at the New St. Thomas Institute. Yesterday, we recorded a bunch more video lessons. These will be coming out in February, and it's all on the Eucharist, all in the Blessed Sacrament. It's going to be titled The Eucharistic Theology of Thomas Aquinas, and we did one on transubstantiation. That was question 75. In the third part of the Summa Theologiae. We did one on who can and cannot receive communion according to Thomas Aquinas, and we even touched on our Catholic politicians and what Thomas would say about them. We did one on the institution of the Lord's Supper, where Thomas deals with questions such as, did Judas Iscariot receive communion? Did Christ give him communion, and why? My favorite thing that we recorded yesterday was the 12 mystical actions in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That is question 83 in the third part of the Summa. And we looked at how Thomas interprets all these mystical gestures in the Mass. All of them are still, in the extraordinary form. Some of them are no longer in the Novus Ordo, but we covered them all anyway. And it's really interesting. I think it'll really help you deepen your love and appreciation for the Holy Mass. And then we did a video on Aristotle on the difference between substance and accidents and how that helps us better understand transubstantiation. So lots of great, fantastic stuff going on in the new St. Thomas Institute. If you're a member, look forward to these videos. Check them out. Please leave comments and join in our conversation. If you're not a member, you can become a member. You just go to newstthomas.com. That's spelled out Saint. New, spelled out Saint. newstthomas.com. There's a video there in which I tell you all about the Institute. And then you can decide for yourself, is this for you? And I think you're going to love it. We have lots and lots of people who are writing me daily about all the great things that are learning. And it's been a huge blessing for me and for all of us involved in the new St. Thomas Institute. So check it out. Okay, well, also another thing that's going to be happening is I'm going on a pilgrimage to Mexico, to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and I want to invite you to come with me. I'm not getting any money out of this. I'm not getting even a free ticket or anything. I'm going as a pilgrim. But I'd like for you to join me. I'll be going with Scott Hahn in February to Mexico City, Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I'll tell you more how you can join us at the end of this podcast, this episode. So let's begin this week with the tip of the week. Every week on this podcast, I give a tip, and it could be something practical. It could be something spiritual. And this week, the tip is scripture memorization, memorizing Bible verses. It says in the Bible, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's important that we hide, that we place, that we treasure the words of scripture in our hearts. And everyone I talk to who does this always says the same thing. They say, you know, I'll memorize some scripture, and then throughout the day, throughout the month, throughout the year, there will be moments in which that scriptural passage will sort of call up in my soul, call up in my spirit, and it'll help me through a situation that's difficult. I mean, if you memorize scripture, you're literally walking around with pieces of the Bible in you. And that's a sacramental reality. So memorize scriptural verses. I like to memorize Proverbs. You know I love Proverbs if you listen to the show. Portions of the Psalms, and then portions of the Gospels. As I've said in a previous podcast, I think you should read scripture, and I think the best way for beginners to do that is to read a little bit of the Psalms, one or two Proverbs a day, and then a portion from one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And as you do that, if there's a verse that hits you, write it on a note card and put it on your mirror in the bathroom and begin to memorize it. And over time, you'll memorize 5 verses, 10 verses, 20 verses, 50 verses, maybe even 100 verses that you'll have access to right there in your memory. And it's a beautiful and wonderful thing. So that's the tip of the week. Memorize some scripture. Speaking of scripture, we have our proverb of the week. And our proverb is going to lead into our featured segment. The proverb is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And it reads, quote, with all watchfulness, keep your heart, because life issues out from it. Again, quote, with all watchfulness, keep your heart, because life issues out from it. It's important for us to guard our hearts. We can allow negative thoughts to overcome us, and the devil loves this. Our enemy Satan looks for an opportunity, and all of his demons look for an opportunity to see us discouraged, to see our heart downcast. And we're going to look at some passages today, your identity in Christ through the Holy Spirit, that shows you what great honor and great supernatural prestige you have by being in Christ, by being a member of the mystical body of Jesus Christ, by being baptized, by being confirmed, by receiving the Holy Eucharist, by participating in the liturgy. We're going to look at all that. So it's important that we guard our heart, and the ways we can do that are, as we said in the tip of the week, memorize some scripture, put scripture in your heart, and then constantly recall what scripture says about you, your spiritual identity in Christ, to keep your heart lifted up. In the proverb here, it says you have to guard your heart. That means there are enemies trying to get into the castle of your heart. Therefore, you have to set up guards, guardians. Okay? So with that, let's go ahead and move on to our featured segment, and that is how to discover your spiritual identity in Christ. You know, I feel like I'm on a spiritual high right now because I've spent the last 48 hours immersed in the theology of St. Thomas Aquinas with regard to the Eucharist. And it reminds me of the great dignity we have, the supernatural, I don't know of a better word, prestige that we have in Christ to come forward to the altar and to receive He who is man and He who is God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the eternal Word of God. That is a great gift. And today we're going to open the book of Romans, St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, and we're going to discover that who we are in Christ is much greater than we presumed before. So there's 12 passages here, and we're going to go through each one. And as I go through them, I want you to explicitly apply it to yourself. Say, this is true of me. And as you go through, if you really take this seriously, I mean, you may have some tears in your eyes because you're going to realize how precious you are in God's eyes because you are hidden away in Christ, the Son of God. Okay, so are you ready? This is going to be good. Okay, here we go. So we open up the book of Romans, probably the magnum opus of St. Paul's epistles, up there with Hebrews. And yes, I do believe St. Paul wrote the epistles of Hebrews. It's the tradition of the church. The fathers, Thomas Aquinas, affirms that Paul authored the book of Hebrews. So it is a perennial tradition. And I think there's also great textual support for that. Anyway, that's just an aside. Let's go back to Romans. As we get through the introduction of Romans and we get into chapter 5, St. Paul begins to break it down as to who we are in Jesus Christ. Through baptism and through faith, we are inserted into the life, death, resurrection, and mystical body of St. Paul. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says that we reign in life. We rule in life. We are rulers in Christ. As we'll see, we are co-heirs with Christ. We reign with Christ. We become a royal priesthood. This is a lay priesthood, but it still has great dignity. A royal priesthood. Number two, in Christ, Paul says, we walk in newness of life. You find this in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. You walk in newness of life. You may be discouraged and think, I'm never going to beat this sin. I'm still the old person that I was, but it's not true. Paul says if you're in Christ, you walk in newness of life. It is a fact. It is a fact. You know, someone once said that the theology of Paul breaks down like this. Become what you are. So in Christ, you've received an identity through baptism, whether you were baptized as a baby or baptized as an adult. You've received an identity in Christ. You have the name Christian. Christ means anointed. Christian means you're a little anointed one. All right, you are anointed and you have newness of life. God has given you grace. You can turn the page. You can have a new life. It is true. It is possible. Number three, Romans 6, chapter 11. You are alive unto God. You see, if you don't have the grace of God, you're the walking dead. You're spiritually like a zombie. But if you have the grace of God, you are alive unto God. What you do can bring about more graces in this world. It can attain to you a higher place in heaven. But most importantly, it means that you have an intimate relationship with God. You are alive to Him. He smiles when He sees you. Number four. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. We are bringing forth fruits unto God. He has planted the seed of eternal life in you. And as you cooperate with His grace, you bring forth fruits. Remember, Jesus says, a good tree brings forth good fruits. A bad tree brings forth bad fruits. In Christ, you are a good tree. The seed of good fruit is inside of you. Remember last week we talked about not being a bitter Catholic, right? And not letting the root of bitterness spring up in our lives. well, remember, this is all agricultural metaphors here. So the seed has been placed in you, according to the New Testament, and then a root comes up, and that root must not be bitter, that root must be full of joy. And as the root goes up, the fruit, if it's full of joy, will be good fruit. But if it's a bitter root, it'll be bitter fruit. God has already given you everything you need to let that seed grow and let the fruit be sweet, that your life would be sweet, that it would be good. And that's your identity. It's right there in Romans chapter 7. Okay? Now, one of my favorites is verse 5. I'm sorry, is number 5. And I actually recite this often to myself when I'm discouraged. It's Romans chapter 8, 1. And it's, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Are you in Christ? Are you baptized? Are you in a state of grace? There is no condemnation for you in Christ. Let me say that again. Let it sink in. There is no condemnation for you in Christ. None. Christ is the victor over death, sin, and hell. And if you're in a state of grace, he is in your heart. There is no condemnation for you. You are beloved by God. Cherish that. I mean, again, these are things I forget, but these are things that I constantly call upon myself. Verses I memorize when I'm discouraged, I say this to myself. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Number 6 comes from the very next verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. And here St. Paul tells us that we have been made free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. You know, Thomas Aquinas refers to this toward the end of Prima Secunda in the Summa Theologiae. The law of sin. It's called the flesh. Paul calls it the flesh. In Greek, it's called the sarx, S-A-R-X. That's just the word for flesh. And it's also called by the Latin tradition concupiscence. It's that disordered rule of the passions against your intellect, against your mind. You know it's the right thing to do, but sometimes you just keep on eating those chips. You know you shouldn't eat that entire pint of ice cream, but you do. You know you shouldn't say that mean word back to your friend or your spouse, but you do. All of those are examples of concupiscence. If you're a member of the New St. Thomas Institute, we did a whole video on this. It was called Pale Gas, which goes over the 7 deadly sins. And we have another one called The Structure of Your Soul that looks how the passions and the intellect engage in a Christian. And that's, again, all from Thomas Aquinas. So check those out. Okay. Now, number 7, not only are we freed from the law of sin and death, but we've been given a new law, which is the Holy Spirit. All right, so in Romans 8, 2, it says that we have been made free from the old law of sin, which we got from Adam and Eve. And then through Jesus, we are given the law of the Spirit. And St. Augustine and Thomas Aquinas will teach us that the New Testament, the new law, is not like, you know, written somewhere or on a piece of paper or in a document. The new law is the Holy Spirit. The new law, the New Testament, is the third person, the Trinity. It's the Holy Spirit. So when we become believers, when we receive the sacrament of baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit, which means the new law, the New Testament, is within us. The New Testament just isn't those books in the last third of the Bible. The New Testament is the Holy Spirit. Okay, number 8, this is in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, 2 verses. It's 2 ways of looking at the same reality. Paul says, you are a child of God. If you're a male, you're a son of God. If you're a female, you are a daughter of God. He looks at you tenderly. He is the perfect father. And when he looks down, he sees Christ, who is his only begotten son, who he loves. And he sees you in Christ, and he sees Christ in you. And by the way, I'm not talking here about Martin Luther's false idea of imputation, justification by imputation. Luther, the founder of the Reformation, taught that we were justified by a mechanism called imputation, that God declared us righteous because of the merits of Christ, but didn't actually transform or change us or put any righteousness into our souls. So it was as if the Father accepted the sacrifice of Christ, took that check for the merits, and mailed us the check, but nothing ever happened to us. We reject that as Catholics. We believe that through Christ, we are new creations. We are transformed. The grace and righteousness and holiness of Christ is infused. It is poured in to our souls so that we are transformed into something beautiful. So that leads us now to number 9, and that is we are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Imagine if your earthly father had $800 million in a checking account, and then he just gave you the checkbook and says, it is all yours. That's what God has done for us, but it's even more than that. Obviously, Christ, who's the second person of the Trinity, has everything that the Father has. And what happens through grace, through salvation, is God allows us to be inserted into that plan of riches, spiritual wealth, right? So all of these blessings, all of these gifts are ours without limitation. Without, as we'll see as we move along here, without limitation, he gives us everything. What is lacking in the equation is us, right? We don't receive because we're ashamed, we're afraid, we feel guilty, right? But everything has been given to us. Even Christ's most precious earthly gift, his mother, Mary, the mother of God, is given to us for our assistance. Everything, even all of the angels, Saint Michael the Archangel, his best angel, everything he has given to us. That's why sometimes when I hear people say, well, I'm Protestant and I love Jesus, but, you know, I don't want to, and I like maybe the idea of Eucharist or confession, but I don't want to become a Catholic. I say to them, well, why don't you want the whole enchilada? Why don't you want everything? He's offering to you everything, all the gifts, all the sacraments, all the sacramentals, everything, all the saints, all these spiritual charisms. Why not receive everything? Because we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. You can find that, if you want to review it, Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Now, moving on to number 10. All right. Here in Romans 8, 32, Paul says that we have received all things from God. Everything comes from God. This goes back to us being co-heirs, but it's also good for us to remember that all things includes the way you look. Any diseases or handicaps you may have, the good and the bad, all things come from God, and they're all meant to be a blessing. As hard as that is to believe sometimes, it's all there to be a blessing. All right, so now we move on to number 11, and this is my favorite one. It's Romans 8, 37. St. Paul says that in Christ, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. A conqueror is one who can go out into the world and subdue nations. A conqueror is one who comes to your country, your community, your tribe, your town, your city, and takes it over. Now, we're not talking about hostile takeovers. We're not wanting to come in and scalp people and decapitate people or murder people and enslave people. No, but we do want to come in with the love of God and take over your town, your city, your state, your nation, your culture, the entire globe. There's a podcast called How to Convert 7 Billion Peoples. I would really encourage you to listen to that because it speaks to this. It is episode, let me look it up real quick. It's one of the earlier ones. Episode 6. So go to taylormarshall.com and click on podcast at the top of the page, and you'll see all the podcasts that we've recorded, and you'll go to number 6 there, how to convert 7 billion people. We can really do this because in Romans it says we are more than conquerors. Now, it's not just conquerors in an evangelism push. It's also conqueror over everything in your life. The discouragement, the failed papers, the career, the marriage, your children, your grandchildren, pain and wounds that you've received in life, the evil and hurtful things that people have done to you, all of those things, in Christ, through His grace, you are more than a conqueror. You're not just a conqueror. It's not that you can just conquer them. You're more than a conqueror. Christ could have defeated Satan and conquered him just by a word, just by a flick of his finger. He decided instead to be more than a conqueror. He went all the way to the cross and shed his blood. That's our identity now. We are more than conquerors. Any problem in your life, any hardship, you are more than a conqueror. Christ says, take up your cross and follow me. But remember, you take up the cross and you follow him, but Christ doesn't carry the cross and remain on the cross forever. On the third day, he rises again in victory. He is more than a conqueror. He's submissive and obedient to God unto death, and therefore God rewards him. He is more than a conqueror, and you in Christ are also more than a conqueror. So be encouraged, all right? And now we get to the last one in the book of Romans, number 12, and it's also in Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. And here Paul teaches us that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. I'm going to read it to you because it's really encouraging. I'm pulling it up here. Okay, so Paul says, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor thing present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, not death, not sickness, not discouragement, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, of course, we can sin mortally, and we will lose all grace in our souls. And if we die in that state, we do know from divine revelation, from Scripture and tradition, that we will go to hell. We don't want that to happen. All right? And even then, God still loves us. Right? It's our decision. We did not cooperate. However, He has given us every gift to make sure that that doesn't happen. He's given us Scripture, the sacraments, the priesthood to absolve us. He's given us act of contrition. He's given us penances. He's given us seasons like Lent. He's given us Fridays to do penance. He's given us all of these examples of the saints so that nothing separates us from the love of God. The only thing that can separate us from the love of God is our own refusal. He will not force us into heaven. We can turn away through mortal sin, right? But nothing. The demons can't, with all of their might, take you away from God's love. They just can't do it. All right, so nothing separates you from the love of God. So there are the 12 Christological features, we might call them, in the book of Romans that apply to you. I'm going to put all 12 in the show notes for this podcast. So if you'd like to get them, just go to taylormarshall.com, click on podcast, and go to episode 19, and they'll all be there. I would encourage you to print them out, fold it in half. It'll all be on one sheet of paper, and insert it into your Bible and put your Bible on your nightstand. And anytime you're discouraged, get these out and go through them and say, all 12 of these apply to me. It's in the Bible. The Bible is without error. This is all true of me. I have great faith, I have great hope, and I have great love for God because all of these are true. All right, so there it is. Your spiritual identity in our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so our saint of the week this week is Saint Barnabas. And I chose Saint Barnabas solely because of his name. His real name was Joseph, as we see in the Greek, Yoses, which is a form of Joseph. And he sold all of his good and gave all of his money to the apostles there in Jerusalem. And they gave him a new name, Barnabas. Comes from the Arabic, Bar-Naba. And Bar, of course, means son. And Nabia means prophet or consolation or encouragement. So his name really means son of encouragement. And we see a connection in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 between prophecy and encouragement. And the apostles saw him as a son of encouragement. He encouraged them. And I think in our time, and when it's very difficult to be a Christian, we need a lot of encouragement. We need the encouragement from Romans that we learned today about our identity in Christ. But we also need to encourage others. So if you know someone in your life, a friend, a family member, someone maybe you don't know that well at church, and they're down and they're discouraged, you can tell, encourage them. You know, remind them, hey, you are more than a conqueror in Christ. You are a beloved son or daughter in Christ. All the riches of God have been poured out upon you through the Holy Spirit. And give them encouragement. We all need words of encouragement. I know I do. You know, it's always so helpful to me when I hear from you, or someone writes an email or sends a note to me saying, hey, I appreciate what you're doing, or I find encouragement from you. That makes me feel wonderful, and it kind of gives me more energy and more strength to keep doing what I think God has called me to do. So be that for another person. Be a Barnabas, a son of encouragement, okay? So now we got our Latin word of the week, and before we go through that, the Latin word is confirmatio. I just got a couple of announcements. The first announcement is that I'll be going on a pilgrimage with Dr. Scott Hahn. He's been a good friend for a long time and has really encouraged me and mentored me in many ways. And I'll be going as a pilgrim. I'm paying to go on this. I'm not leading it. I'm not sponsoring it. I'm just going along to learn more about Our Lady of Guadalupe. I've always wanted to see the tilma on which Our Lady's miraculous image was produced. And if you want to learn more about that in the tradition of Our Lady of Guadalupe, you can hear all about that in this podcast, Taylor Marshall Show, episode 16. Again, go to taylormarshall.com, click on podcast, and go to episode 16. If you'd like to join us, it's going to be February 13th through 18th, 2014, and we're going to Mexico City to see Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. If you'd like to join us, it's being led by Dr. Hahn and his wife, Kimberly Hahn, and it's through 206 Tours or pilgrimages.com. Again, I'm not getting paid for this. I'm not getting paid to advertise it or to lead it. I'm just going as a pilgrim. And if you'd like to join us, that'd be great. I'd love to get to know you, get to know some of the listeners and some members of the new St. Thomas Institute. So please check it out and join us. Also, the book that I've been giving away for free on taylormarshall.com will be going away likely on February 2nd, the Feast of the Presentation. It's called God's Birthday. It's a defense of Christ being born on December 25th. I really do believe that there's historical and theological reasons to affirm that Christ was historically born on December 25th. That's a true tradition. It's not something made up by crafty Roman priests to baptize a pagan holiday. So if you'd like to get that book for free, go to taylormarshall.com. In the upper right corner of that webpage, you'll see Get Your Free Book, and you just insert your email there. And within an hour, I'll email you the link. It's automatically generated, and you'll get your copy of that ebook in PDF format. So go to taylormarshall.com, put in your email address, and you'll get that book. And then last of all, if you've enjoyed this podcast and you like listening to it, first I would ask you to please subscribe to it through iTunes. That way you'll get it every week. It comes out every Wednesday, and it'll automatically be placed on your computer or your iPhone. So if you're in the car or jogging or out and about, you'll have a helpful podcast to hopefully edify you and encourage you in your walk with Christ. So please do that. And also, if you really like it, please go to iTunes and rate this podcast. I'd love it if you give it a 5-star, but I just want you to give it an honest rating. And if you could, just write something helpful there. I like to go and read what people say, and it helps other people know what this show is about, and it helps people in iTunes find it. There's a lot of good podcasts in iTunes. There's a lot of bad podcasts in iTunes, and we want people to find good ones. And I think this is a good podcast, so I want people to find it in iTunes and start listening to it. So if you could go to iTunes and rate it, you can give it a 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, and then just say something about the show. It would be a great blessing to me, and it would mean the world to me. Well, I didn't forget our Latin word of the week, confirmatio, two words, con, with, and then firmus, or firma, to be firm, strong, hard. So confirmation, confirmatio, is to make something strong, durable, firm. And when you receive the sacrament of confirmation, you've been made strong. St. Vincent Ferrer said, at the end of the world, only those who have the sacrament of confirmation will be able to withstand the Antichrist. That's how important the sacrament of confirmation is. So if you have been confirmed and strengthened the Holy Spirit, you are truly more than a conqueror, as St. Paul says. Well, hey, thanks for listening so much. I appreciate all of you. I appreciate all the kind notes you send, and I am really encouraged by you. Y'all are a great group of people, and I love you as a listener. And please keep, you know, the information coming, questions coming, ideas. I love to read all of that. And be in touch over at the website, taylormarshall.com. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty.
Thank you for listening. Please visit taylormarshall.com for the show notes. And now, Jesus Mira Riv, which means God and Mary be with you.